Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with John Rapson, who's starring in A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder at the Kennedy Center January 13th through the 30th. John, thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, thanks, Jason. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Now, I know you play a bunch of roles in this, and I want to get into that, but before we go into that, that's really what I want to talk about. I'm really jazzed up about that. But let's do like a basic plot summary, because you and I know what it's about, but I want to hear in your words for our listeners, maybe they don't know, what is Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder about?
Yeah, of course. Cool. So it's about, we kind of meet our hero. His name's Monty Navarro. He's kind of down on his luck, and right in the beginning of the show, he finds out, after the death of his mother, that it's been hidden from him all of his life, that he's the heir to this vast family fortune and this title. He's actually a part of the Dysquith family, who are one of the most important families in Britain. This takes place in 1909. Mm-hmm. So he writes to them, he reaches out to them, he says, I know I'm sort of estranged from you, but I want to become part of the family again, and they say, we don't really want to have anything to do with you, and he does, you know, what any discerning gentleman would do, and he kind of gleefully helps the eight people who are in front of him in line along into the next world, as it were. And it's a big, you know, fat musical comedy farce. And it's just a riot. And, you know, the big kind of crux of the show is that the whole family, men, women, old, young, everybody, is all played by one actor, which is yours truly.
And that is you.
Yeah.
All right. So run real quick through the eight roles, and how do you actually change back and forth from those?
Difficulty, I promise you. No, it's wacky backstage. I mean, another one of the kind of jokes of it is that once one goes down, another pops right back up. So we have my fastest change, I think, is 16 seconds long.
Wow.
I travel with my amazing dresser Nadine, and some at one point there's five people helping me out. It's crazy back there. There's as much of a show going on backstage as there is going on stage. But the eight characters. So I have trouble remembering them sometimes.
Well, it's men, women, different ages, right?
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. There's the guy who's actually the Earl of Highhurst, Adalbert Dysquith. There's who's sort of your main villain of the piece. There's both Asquith Dysquith Jr. and Sr., a father and son. One of the father who's very sweet. The son who is the exact opposite of that. There's the Reverend Lord Ezekiel Dysquith, who is a you know, kind of a country preacher who's a little bit too fond of the communion wine. There's Lady Hyacinth Dysquith, who is just a big battleship of a woman, who's looking for a cause of her own, a charitable cause. There's Salome Dysquith, who's a terrible actress. There's Bartholomew Dysquith, who's a weightlifter. There's Henry Dysquith, who's a country squire and beekeeper. Did I hit them all?
I think you might have.
Yeah, I think that might have been eight. Yeah.
How do you flip your switch? I mean, I know it's. You said it's hectic backstage, just physically doing the changes, but
yeah,
mentally, as an actor, how do you flip that switch from one to the other?
You know, it. The show is so brilliantly written. I mean, the show. The show won a lot of Tonys in 2014.
Yeah.
And it's so exquisitely put together that it's actually easier than you might think. The characters are so defined in their speech and in the way that, and we also had an excellent rehearsal process where I got, you know, to kind of figure out how each of these guys and gals moved, how they spoke. And the thing is that what's on the page just dictates that perfectly. So some of it's me, but a lot of it is how good the piece is in general. And it's just, you know, so darn funny. The audience helps me a lot. Once the audience kind of gets in on the joke that there's one guy doing this, the roller coaster is going down the hill, and the humor becomes, you know, the kind of like rolling in your seat, have to wait for laughter kind of stuff that is just, you know, for an actor, it's the greatest thing in the world.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
What is it like? That's what I was going to ask you. There's got to be that moment where, you know, some people in the audience probably don't know about all the different roles you're going to play. So there's got to be that moment where you go from first character one to character two, and you see it finally get it. And then when two to three and three to four, and they realize, oh, it's the same guy the whole time.
Oh, dude, that's exactly it. And, you know, that's actually, I think that's probably my favorite part of doing the show, especially because in these In especially some of the smaller houses, which I feel like we fit so beautifully in, and God, the Eisenhower, the Kennedy Center is like one of my favorite spaces ever, and we're so excited to be there because you can really feel the audience in spaces like that. And the thing is, it's usually on the third character, actually, there's this kind of like, oh, that kind of erupts from the audience. And there's almost this feeling of, this is what this is, which is so much fun for me.
Right.
And then once people are kind of along for that journey, things only can get more ridiculous and more crazy, because part of the fun of the show becomes, what's going to happen next? How is he going to come out next? How fast is this one going to be? Or, you know, how is this next? And the murders, which are, you know, all the these really brilliant, funny set pieces, are not, they're the furthest thing from violent. They're all kind of, Monty sort of helps all of these idiots that I play along into the next world. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not going up stabbing people in the back. So people get actually excited for the anticipation of what's going to happen next.
That's awesome. And tell me about who plays Monty. Is it Kevin Massey?
Yes, Kevin Massey.
All right, tell me about him. What's it like working with him?
Oh, he's extraordinary. I mean, we have such a good time together. It's you know, we have an amazing, amazing cast of 11 that's on stage with us every night, 15 with our swings. It's just a great group of people. But Kevin's an extraordinary scene partner, and our show really very much depends on one another. And right away when we met, there was an immediate kinship. We actually ended up having to, our final audition was with one another. It's funny, usually you have a chemistry test with your leading lady, but, you know, in this particular case, you have the murderer-victim chemistry test.
Because right.
Both roles are...
How well does he kill me?
Yeah, exactly. Let's test that out. You know, both roles are so massive in scope compared to a lot of what's out there in musical theater right now, and require... You know, for both of us, I think it sort of requires your full tool belt. I mean, everything that you can bring to the table, they can use in a show like this. But of course, that also puts it's a great amount of strain, and it's hard work every night. And you want to be doing it with somebody that you can feel confident being up there with. And he's the definition of that. And I hope I am for him too. We have a really good time together.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. When did you actually first discover it? I mean, because I know it was on Broadway. I think it won like 4 Tonys.
Yeah, 4.
And what did you see it up there?
Yes. Yeah, so here's what was happening. I was actually previewing. I was in Les Misérables on Broadway, the new revival, the 25th anniversary revival.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in previews, and I'm the kind of guy who I see everything in New York, or at least I try to. And I set aside, we were running out of days to see things because we had Sundays off. So I set aside one day to go to Gentleman's Guide. And what ended up happening was I didn't see a whole lot that season because I went back to Gentleman's Guide on 2 respective Sundays with different friends. I thought it was, there aren't really words for the kind of breath of fresh air / like just it fit all of my sensibilities as to what I think like a night at the theater can and should do for people, in a comedic night at the theater. Anyway, I saw it 3 times. I was mesmerized by it. And the performance of Jefferson Mays, who's my predecessor in the role, who, is, you know, one of the great theater actors of our time.
Oh, he's a Tony winner in his own right. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Talk about a, you know, kind of pinch yourself thing. The fact that I get to do what that guy is doing is extraordinary.
Did you send him off to another world so you could take over the theater?
Yeah, exactly. I helped him along myself.
Yeah, helped him along. Yeah,
yeah, right. No, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that to the American theater. You know.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So you see it 3 times, and then when tell me, take me into, you know, auditioning to get on the national tour.
Sure. So I've been doing my show for about a year, and auditions for the tour came up. I knew I really wanted to be seen, and I didn't particularly. I loved the show so much that I basically said I just like to get in the room. I know what I'd like to do, but you know, I'm happy to go in for whatever they want to see me for.
Right.
Which at first was an ensemble role, you know, after a few auditions, I think there was a sense in the room that, oh, maybe this guy is actually destined for a little bit more in this piece. The thing is, Jason, I really can't speak enough about the producers of this show, because they did what doesn't happen in musical theater anymore, which is they had, like, so much confidence in how good this piece is that they didn't worry about getting names in these roles. They cast who they wanted to cast. Maybe some people have heard about or of me in New York, but certainly nobody knows who I am on a national scale. And, you know, it's a gift. This doesn't happen anymore. And they know that their show can sell and can, you know, kind of stand on its own without having a big star in it. It's been the most amazing journey of my life, really.
That's awesome. Where are we on the tour? Where's DC?
We're about a little over 4 months in.
Okay. What cities have you hit so far?
San Francisco. We opened in Chicago. In Minneapolis now. Durham. That's a good sampling, I think.
Yeah.
It's been amazing. I mean, DC is obviously huge. It's kind of a for the other two that I toured with, Les Mis as well, and I think our opening night at the Kennedy Center is, for me, what I remember as the highlight of the tour.
Yeah.
The audience, I mean, it kind of absolutely goes without saying that it's one of the great theater towns in America, but it's also just one of the great towns in America. So you feel really lucky to play there, and especially to play that space.
Are you nudging your co-stars in the cast, being like, you don't understand, this is going to be really cool at the Kennedy Center?
In a sense, the ones who haven't played there before, there is definitely, I what I just keep saying is, I don't think you're going to get it till we're there. because once you actually, you know, if you're coming up from the Foggy Bottom Metro there, or if you're staying around there, which is where I'm staying, and you actually walk that walk and you see the outline of the building and you get up there, and the outline of a building in itself is kind of is kind of like a national memory, right?
I mean, right. It's like, almost like you're at a monument.
It's really something. Yeah. It really is like a gift to play there, and also just to be in Washington for 3 weeks. We're so looking forward to it.
Definitely. Tell me, you know, give me a little of your backstory. Where did you actually grow up, and how'd you get into acting?
Sure. Well, I grew up in Michigan. I grew up about 40 minutes north of Detroit, a town called Rochester. And didn't start acting until high school, actually.
What was your first role in high school?
Henry Higgins in My Fair Lady. I really got thrown in.
You said it wrong. It's Henry Higgins.
Henry Higgins, yeah. And what's funny is that the Dysquith family is kind of full circle, because there's a sense, mostly because I just imagined that Rex Harrison would be really good at it. So
that's awesome.
But yeah, that was the first one. I went to school at the University of Michigan for musical theater, which is, you know, one of the great programs going now. I was lucky enough to do that, and then
what were some of the roles you had there?
What'd you say?
What were some of the shows that you were in there?
I did. Speaking of DC, and one of my favorite stops in DC, I did Assassins. I was John Wilkes Booth in Assassins.
Okay.
I was Mr. Snow in Carousel. I was did a couple of new shows.
Nice.
When we were there, Big River. I was Huck's dad. You know, mostly villains and drunks and, you know, all the character man.
Basically playing yourself. No. All right, so then how, from Michigan then, do you go to New York straight from there? Or how did
straight from there to New York, and was really, really fortunate to end up in that new, which began at Paper Mill Playhouse, that new 25th anniversary production of Les Miserables, which for the next 4.5 years was kind of my life. I did all the iterations of it. I began it and did the tour of it. I then did it in Toronto.
What character?
I did the Broadway production.
Who did you play in Les Mis?
I played Grantaire.
Okay.
And Bemette Bois, the kind of drunk, cynical student on the barricade, and I said drunks and villains before, and Bemette Bois is the guy who
sensing a theme,
beats up Fantine. You know, really pleasant people.
Yeah.
And then I understudied Javert and Thénardier.
Nice.
It was all, I mean, it was a thrill. That show gave me so much and was the greatest kickstart to a career that you could possibly have.
Definitely. And now we got Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder.
Exactly. Something extremely different, yeah.
Do you have a favorite number?
Yeah, I have a lot. There's
you can't say them all.
Yeah. There's a number called Better With a Man that I do with Kevin. That is a riot. It's one of those, to tell you too much about it would be, or to tell the listeners too much about it would kind of be giving it away. But
yeah, definitely.
Suffice to say that it's one of those songs that the audience kind of picks up on the joke before the two characters do. Which always is kind of a lot of fun when the audience is a little bit ahead of you on stage.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of numbers. There's the Door Trio, the like famous number that they did on the Tonys. Like I watch that every night. I'm not in it. but that song is just in, and for people who know the show, you feel anticipation building in the audience.
Right.
Just for excitement about that song coming up. It's absolutely phenomenal.
That's amazing. Now, you see, you're getting me all excited to go see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm so glad. It's such a good time, man. It's just a big, fun, good time and a great night in the theater.
Awesome. Well, we're definitely going to go check it out. It's January 13th through the 30th at the Kennedy Center.
That's right.
I guess, what's the final pitch? If someone's listening to this, what's the final sell?
Well, here's one. How about coming early? Because I think that it's one of those shows that a lot of our audience are actually repeat visitors, and I swear to God that's true. We have people who come back two and three times, even in our cities where we sit for 1 week, because it's a show that has so many great little deft comic details that you got to come again. I joked around with somebody the other day. I said it's like the Haunted Mansion or Pirates of the Caribbean at Disney World.
Yeah.
You can never ride them enough. You got to go back in line and do it again to see, you know, what you missed the last time.
Yeah.
Are there
like new jokes you pick up each time?
It is everything that you kind of want a great musical comedy to be, and it's got a great score and so many good laughs.
Are there new jokes you pick up, you know, nuances every time you go back and see it?
A little bit, yeah. Right. And if you see it with a different, a show's different every night because in the case of Kennedy Center, the 1,100 people in front are different every night. Right. So you're going to get a different, you're going to get a different show in a way because we as performers ride the wave of the audience. Not like we're changing anything. It's just kind of the way it works. I always think that's really interesting to see it with different groups of people.
Yeah, definitely. Well, hopefully, I'm going to be one of those groups of people, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, I can't wait, man. That's great.
Yeah. Thanks so much for taking the time. Is there anything else we missed? Or?
I don't think so.
No, I think we covered it
pretty good. Yeah, I think we did all right. We're so excited to be there.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. We're really looking forward to seeing it, and we will see you out there next week.
Sounds good, Jason. Thank you so much, man.
All right, John Rapson on WTOP.